Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. This last Thursday marked 40 days since Easter, and that's the day that we celebrate when Jesus ascended into heaven, because 40 days after, Scripture says, is when he did that. We're going to celebrate that this morning and what all of that means for us, not just over the course of history as a church, but in our everyday lives as well. And the number one thing that we're going to celebrate today about that, the specific thing, is that Jesus rules over all things for our good. And he guides us, and he powerfully guides us with his mighty hand. So you'll see that reflected throughout the service today. We'll also celebrate the Lord's Supper, so prepare your minds and hearts to receive the body and blood of the Lord. Now this is a meal where we celebrate our unity. So if you are not one with us in the faith, and you would like to join us in the future, speak to myself or Pastor Colander. We could talk about how we can make that happen. We continue our worship with hymn 169 in the Red Songbooks, 169. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and he's given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, we praise our Lord with hymn 171, verses 1, 5, and 6. You may be seated. Lord be with you. We pray. Lord Jesus, King of glory, on this day you ascended far above the heavens, and at God's right hand you rule the nations. Leave us not alone, we pray, but grant us the Spirit of truth, that at your command and by your power we may be your witnesses in all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you've noticed so far, one of the themes for Ascension is Alleluia, praise the Lord. And the reason that we can do that is because we see in the Lord's Ascension his mighty power in his hand. And we praise him for it. And that's what the Israelites did for so many years. And we do still today when we see what he did at the Red Sea. Same mighty hand at work. The first lesson from Exodus 14. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses his servant. The word of the Lord. We'll sing together hymn 172. Please note the choir will sing verses 1 through 3. The congregation will join in verse 4. The second lesson comes from Revelation chapter 19. What a powerful picture that John saw in his vision of our ascended Lord. This is our ascended Jesus. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the word of the Lord. The verse of the day comes from Matthew 28:20, and I invite you to join in on the boldface type. Alleluia, alleluia, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia. Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age, alleluia. Now please stand in honor of the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 24, and this will serve as the sermon text for today. From Luke 24. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Confess our faith in our powerful ascended Lord, according to the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, Christ High Ascended, number 558.
Thank you.
God's powerful grace is yours, brothers and sisters, through Jesus, our ascended Lord. Amen. The sermon text, as I said, comes from the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 24. You can follow along there in the gospel lesson if you'd like. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your power. Amen. You think about all of the blessings that you and I have at the ready. You know what I mean? That are just there and ready for us to use, or that are always benefiting us, but we don't even realize it, or maybe we don't appreciate it as much. For example, we really have a great benefit in being able to call 911 when we need help, but we don't often realize it until we need to call 911, right? Another one, we don't always appreciate it, but we're using it all the time, even right now as we speak. But we always notice it when it goes out. Electricity. Electricity goes out. That's when you realize, oh yeah, we really use it a lot. Or, and this is another one that Heather and I were just talking about this week. You don't realize what a blessing it is to have good health until you don't have good health. Well, the same can be said for the ascension of Jesus. It's one of those blessings that gives so many other blessings every single day, ongoing, and we don't even realize it. I admit that when I was younger, I didn't appreciate Jesus' ascension all that much. I just looked at it as Jesus' Superman moment, you know, one final time when he can show his power as he was leaving this earth. But his ascension is so much more than that. He was giving his disciples these blessings before and during his ascension, and he gives those blessings to us too. We're going to look at, as we see in the gospel lesson, it's going to reveal three of them, three big ones. And as you follow along, you can follow along on the top of page 8 and fill in the words to these blessings, and I encourage you to do so. The first blessing that we see is in verses 44 through 47. Jesus says, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, maybe you've heard that before, but that's a threefold distinction, and it's a division that was the Hebrew Old Testament. So basically, Jesus is saying, I fulfilled everything that was promised and prophesied about me, the Christ, in the Old Testament scriptures. And so that's the first blessing that you get to write in. Right away, the ascended Lord blesses us with the word he fulfills. With the word he fulfills. We talk a lot about that fact that Jesus fulfilled God's word. We talk about it a lot in Sunday worship or in Bible studies. It's just a simple fact that we celebrate, and yet, how often do we doubt it? You think about that? And we all do it. There's all some doubt that creeps in every now and then. Maybe a tragedy strikes. Or maybe something happens where you hear some scientists make some pretty interesting claims with some good evidence. And a little bit of doubt creeps in. And when that doubt creeps in, guess what comes with it? Fear. And when you have fear, you have a lack of confidence. And all of this comes in when you doubt God's word. Even though, guess what, it depends on the scholar, but different scholars believe that there are somewhere between 200 and 400 prophecies in the Old Testament that pointed forward to Christ. And Jesus says he fulfilled them all. Mathematically, they figured this out. Even if it was just one person fulfilling eight prophecies, the odds of that happening are 1 in 100 quadrillion. And yet look at how many Jesus fulfilled in his 33 years, and we still doubt it. What a blessing it was then for these disciples, because they were no different than you and I. Think about who these men were. They had been with him for 3 years. They saw all these amazing things that he did, and yet what happened? They were locking themselves in a room out of fear and doubt. We even find out that after Jesus appeared to them for 40 days before his ascension, one of the Gospels said some were still doubting. They still had this trepidation in their hearts. So what a blessing as Jesus reminds them of these scriptures that he indeed fulfilled. And did you notice what he said about that? Did you notice that one big word? Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me. Why must? Why was it so necessary? Okay, God promised these things and he prophesied them, and God always fulfills his promises. If you're a good Lutheran, you always remember that one. God always fulfills his promises. That's true. But why did he even have to give these promises in the first place? Did he have to save us? Are we entitled to some salvation? Well, in God's eyes, yeah, he had to save us. And that's his grace. That's his love. He had to be with us forever and ever. He couldn't imagine it not happening. And so it must happen. The Christ must suffer, Jesus says. Sin deserves punishment. There has to be some suffering. If God is just, he has to punish sin. So the Christ, if he's going to save us, must suffer for that. The Christ must rise from the dead on the third day. It has to happen, because that's exactly what sin brought. The wages of sin is death. And so if Jesus is going to reverse it all, then he has to rise from the dead to prove it. Otherwise, it was all in vain. The Christ must be preached to all nations. If Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world, and if all people are going to rise to life someday, they got to know it. If they have this beautiful, powerful God do all these things for them, God has to get that word out. It must be preached, not to these people and to these people, but to all people, all nations. And notice that this one is still ongoing. That's why I had you write, "The word he fulfills." It's still going on through you and me. And that brings us to the second blessing we see in the gospel lesson. Jesus says, beginning at Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So we have these Old Testament scriptures fulfilled, and we have these disciples who are witnesses of these things, and we have their accounts and their applications in the New Testament. We have all of this so that we can witness, just like they did, beginning at Jerusalem. Yet we don't often do that. That fear that we talked about can overcome us, and that lack of confidence, and that causes us to justify our silence. Think to ourselves, well, okay, but that was 2,000 years ago. I mean, people today aren't going to believe what some men saw 2,000 years ago. That's not exactly easy to believe. Well, duh. Look at some of the things that you and I believe. And what, were we at some enlightened position where we were like, oh, so prepared to hear the gospel? And suddenly the gospel came and caused us to believe. No. Had nothing to do with us. And yet we can still cower in fear. And so the second blessing is quite the blessing for us. Go ahead and write it in. The ascended Lord blesses us with the power to witness. With the power to witness. It's an external power. It isn't a power that you and I have welling up inside of us that spills out. You and I can't look into someone's heart and see that it's dead and then put some big power in there to switch it to life. We can't do that. But God can. God can see those dead hearts. God can indeed breathe life into them through his word. Think about how he's been doing that since Jerusalem. Look at what happened with the disciples. Look what was going to happen 10 days after Jesus' ascension. They would indeed be clothed with power from on high when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they indeed witnessed. And look at the power of that witness in the very city of Jerusalem that crucified Jesus 50 days earlier. People were believing. 3,000 that first day. And look at the governments that worked against it and how much they tried to stamp it out. And yet it still spread. And look at what has happened throughout history, all the way up to our hard, hostile hearts ourselves. God's power of the witness of his people is evident. What a blessing that is. More on that blessing next week. And that brings us to the final blessing, the one that really ties it all together, the one that really is the focus of it all, the one that guides it, that makes it an everyday blessing, not just for the disciples, but for 2,000 plus years now, this has been happening. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Wait, where were they? Continually at the temple. Where had they been before? In a locked room filled with fear and doubt and worry. They went from fearful and doubting to joy-filled and praising him openly, publicly. Why? Because of this third blessing. Go ahead and write it in. The ascended Lord blesses us with joy in his ascension. With joy in his ascension. Why does Jesus' ascension bring us such joy? For the disciples, sure, they saw their Savior who had died and rose to life again, physically ascend into heaven, quite the moment. But there's much more than that. And that's for two big reasons. The first of which, what was he doing while he was ascending? Did you catch that? He was blessing them. In 2 weeks, we'll look a little closer at that blessing given to Moses and Aaron originally that God gave to his people. But Jesus was blessing his disciples as he was going up. That tells them that he is continually blessing them all the time, every day. Wherever he is, he's blessing them. But where is he? That's the second big thing that brings joy. And that actually fulfills yet another prophecy. It's Psalm 110. God says, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Jesus ascended into heaven. That tells us, first of all, he is indeed preparing a place for us there. He went up into heaven so that you and I can have a place prepared for us, just as he promised. A place where we don't have this fear and doubt and worry anymore. A place where we don't have to battle our sin. A place where we don't have enemies anymore. Eternal joys. Always at the ready. That brings us great joy. Secondly, at the right hand of God, guess what Jesus is doing then? Interceding for us. Every single day. This isn't a blessing that happened at one time. It's every single day. When you and I sin, every single day, we get to go to our Savior and ask for forgiveness. Jesus is interceding for us between the Father. That means also when we pray every single day, Jesus is interceding for us. How can sinful people even dare to approach a holy God? Through Jesus. That's why we end a lot of our prayers with, "In Jesus' name." our ascended Lord is interceding for us. But more than that, at the right hand of God, the right hand is the power hand. And that's the specific blessing we're celebrating today, that mighty hand that guides and rules everything for his church. There's not an enemy in this world that can stand to the power of that hand. Think about that now when you think about that third must. The Christ must be preached to all nations. You and I have a hard time imagining that when we see our enemies in this culture, when we see our enemies all around us, when we see our enemies all out in the world against Christianity. It seems like a lot. It seems like a powerful enemy that we can't stand up against. Guess who thought the same thing? The Israelites at the Red Sea. Guess who probably thought the same thing? The disciples as they stood before the Roman government. Guess who probably feared the same thing? Martin Luther before the church that was persecuting the pure gospel. And yet, guess what happened? Our Lord ascended high and mighty, worked his word, and is indeed preached to all nations. That's the same power that's at work through you. At the ready. When you are facing somebody who you don't know how to address, you can use his mighty word, fulfilled, confidently. And when you do that, you can indeed know that that promise, and from a God who doesn't take his promises lightly, that promise that the Holy Spirit is working through it is indeed true. Because he is seated at God's right hand. So many blessings that we have in his ascension, and they bring nothing but joy. So the ascension isn't just some Superman-like moment. There's obviously a lot more to it. My prayer is that as you take a look at these three blessings, and I invite you to do so during the offering when you get a chance, first of all, witness to yourself. Take these blessings to heart. And then when you get the moment, use these blessings and benefit them. Benefit from them, because you can always do so when witnessing to others. Amen. Please stand. May the blessings of our ascended Lord guard your hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen. We now join together in Create in Me. Seated for the offering. Thank you. As we pray the prayer of the church, we keep on our minds and in our hearts, especially those suffering from health challenges, including the Schlittenhart's daughter-in-law, Kim, Steve and Lori Gonzalez, Gigi, a friend of Jennifer Hopping, and Timothy Smith. We also pray for those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. And we also pray for the family of Dennis Kaiser, who was taken home to our Lord this past week. We pray. Our loving Lord Jesus, continue to look upon us and direct us with your mighty hand. Shower blessings on us, your church, so that we can share those blessings with those around us. Take everything we have and use it to show your rule over all things. God of all mercy, please hold the glory of your ascended Son before the eyes of all who are faced with the weight of health challenges and recovery from medical procedures. In their difficulties, let your power and presence give them strength. As you're with us in difficult times, you also give us joyous times as well. We praise you for the joy of those celebrating birthdays this week. Renew in them this week the salt of your gospel, that they may continue to glorify you. Continue also to show your grace to all who are celebrating a wedding anniversary. Allow them to rejoice all the more in your love in Jesus and preservation through the Holy Spirit. Lord of life, we praise you for the work that you did in the life of Dennis Kaiser. We ask that you show your power in the lives of his family and friends, that they may be comforted by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We present these requests before you in his name, and we join together in the prayer he himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand in honor of the gospel and the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lived among us as a human being and revealed his glory as your only Son, full of grace and truth. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 562, I Love to Tell the Story. Recognize that the ascended Lord is guiding you to do so. Good morning. It's a pleasure worshiping with you this morning. How many times do I say it was a pleasure worshiping you this morning? I do that way too often. All right. Hopefully that coffee will kick in soon. We've got a few announcements for you. We've got a new round of Bible studies starting today. In the chapel here, we'll be starting the Gospel of Luke. And it's a very good gospel from what I hear. Ends pretty well. Maybe we read that today. But the Gospel of Luke, and in the chapel, for those who don't know, that's if you kind of follow that path right down there, you'll find the chapel on the side of the administration building. The chapel is where we'll have our Bible information class. We'll start that today. There are binders there ready for you, so grab one on your way in. Today we also have our congregational meeting after the second service. That's going to also talk about our ministry financial plan, the budget for this whole next fiscal year. So come for that meeting and discussion after the second service. Jesus Cares Worship, we have our next one today at 2 p.m. So if you don't know, or if you've heard me say it 1,000 times, I don't care, I'll tell you again. So everybody knows our Jesus Cares Worship is our special needs worship. So if you know of anybody that might be interested in joining our worship for special needs, it's a nice, safe environment with about a 20-minute worship service. And it's really just good fellowship and with snacks afterwards as well. So if you know of anybody that could benefit, get the word out. There are things that you can hand out on the Welcome Center. Darren Vogt and his wife Ruth are incoming in about 10 days. They're going to come. And it's almost like the promise of the Holy Spirit 10 days later. Not calling Darren the Holy Spirit, but he's going to bless us for sure. Darren and his wife are coming June 12th. There's a gift card shower. There's a box in the lobby for you if you would like to express your thanks for them coming and your support for them as well. VBS registration is open. It's online. Click the links for volunteers and for participants, so make sure to get the word out about that as well. And Tree of Life Bible Camp is coming up in July. If you're interested in that, please see a note in the weekly news, both for volunteering and for participating. You can also go to their website. I believe it's treeoflife.org. So you can check that out. All of the other announcements you can find in the weekly news. May God continue to bless you every single day, and may you recognize that our ascended Lord has power. Stick around and greet one another.